right, thank you. All right, trying to decide where to go for my text tonight. Anybody got a suggestion? Romans 12, that'll work. Let's go to Romans chapter number 12. I like to just follow as I'm told. So if you say Romans 12, it's all good. We'll just open it up and we'll just start preaching. Right? Let me get my timer on here. Not that I care about it. I won't have to worry about talking to the preacher afterwards with all that singing. I'm sure he's got no voice left.
Yeah.
All right. Romans chapter number 12. We're almost there, aren't we? Tomorrow night, we will find out about the will of God. And we've been building up to that. And we'll build a little bit more to that tonight. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again of Romans chapter 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the service we've had. Thank you for the beautiful, wonderful hymns that we've sung. And thank you, Lord, for the great special music that we've heard. And Lord, thank you that God, all that's been done has glorified you. Now, God, we thank you for this perfect book. And we ask that your spirit would take the word and that it would find lodging in each and every heart. I pray that you quicken us all, Lord, to hear what the spirit would have to say to each and every one of us tonight. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we started out Sunday morning, the first service, examining the mercy of God. Because if we don't understand the mercy of God, we're not going to do what the Lord wants us to do. When we understand the mercy of God, since we're beseeched by those mercies to present our bodies a living sacrifice, when we understand mercy, then that just seems reasonable to us to do that. And we looked at the holiness of the sacrifice and how the purpose of God's work in our life is to make us holy. Last night we looked at the world. What is the world? What in the world is the world? And we found out that the world is the course and spirit of the age. It's the culture and trends and ideas and ways. The world is upon the earth. And its God is Satan. And the world has its truth, and the world has its dogma, and the world has its commandments, and you and I are not to be conformed to the world. Friendship with the world, we learned, is enmity with God. And the world is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and it's not to be loved. We looked at the Lord's great priestly prayer in John 17, and we saw that the whole prayer, his last prayer, the last night with his disciples on earth, was all about us and our relationship to the world. And then we see after believing on Christ, we're to make a presentation, right, of our bodies. There to be a living sacrifice. And that presentation will be the first step in obeying verse number 2. Which we began to study. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may present, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I want you to just as we just talk and give some introduction here. In verse number 2 it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is a familiar pattern in the New Testament, in the Christian life, the be not and be ye.
Right.
Be not, be ye. You can't be ye until you be not.
Right.
All right? The problem is you have a lot of people trying to be ye without being not, and they get all confused, and they're never happy, and there's never any peace in their Christian life, because really that's just not the way to do it. You can't be ye until you be not. That's how the pattern is. The be not is the negative, if you will. The be ye is the positive. And the Bible never leaves us in a void. We need to not be conformed to the world, but then there's something to do. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We won't look at it in detail here tonight, but Ephesians chapter 4 is a great text for this. It starts when it talks about the old man and the new man. It starts even there telling us to put off. In Ephesians 4:17, it says, walk not as other Gentiles. And in Ephesians 4:22, it says, put off the former conversation. And it calls it the old man. All right. And then after verse 22, we have verses 23 through 27 of Ephesians 4. And there it says, then you put on. All right. Be renewed. Verse 23, put on the new man in verse number 24. So that pattern's in the Bible. Be not, be ye, put off, put on. And we have to follow it. There's no other way to get around it. All right? You can't put on over the old. The old must be put off. Yep. And so we need to repent and turn from the old conversation and the old world and all that stuff. And we need to yield to and put on the new man in true holiness. All right? And so trying to live a Christ-like life over the old life is a perversion. It just never is going to work. And what Christianity is, it's transforming. All right, this is a good Bible word. In verse number 2, be not conformed. I want you to pay attention to the words tonight. Form, conformed, transformed. We're going to learn some things from these words. But it says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The definition from the English dictionary of the word conform or conformable, only used 3 times in the Bible. It's to form, shape, or fashion according to some pattern, model, or instruction to make of the same form or character, to make like. And that's what we were in the world. We were conformed to the world. We were like everybody else. I've got a sarcastic calendar that hangs in my home from despair.com. It's the company, Despair. I saw a little child. I think that little baby back there has a t-shirt on that says Tigger, right? Is that right? And I'm not Tigger, all right? I'm despair.com. And in despair.com, one of the demotivational posters, and I like those. And they have one that says, you're unique, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's the world. You know, we all think, oh, I'm this. No, you're not. No, you're not. When you're lost, you are just conformed to the world. Transform is only used 4 times in the Bible. It's used here and only 3 other times. And the other 3 times is about the devil and his unclean spirits transforming themselves into ministers of righteousness and to angels of light. That's interesting. To transform is to change in character or condition, to alter in function or nature. We are to be transformed, or to change our form when we get saved and live for the Lord. Trans is the word, because it starts many words. It's got the sense of across, through, over to, or on the other side of. Beyond, outside of, from one place, person, thing, or state to another. Transforming. Christianity isn't a fire insurance. Now, I know you know that. It's not a fire insurance policy that lets you live recklessly.
Right.
You know, some people live more reckless with insurance. They go, well, I'm insured, right? They abuse the fact that they have insurance, and instead of living more carefully, they take less care because they are insured. So the joke around our house these days, my wife and I, I shouldn't say how old my wife is, but she's the same age as I am. And I just turned 65. And so that's a big deal for us, because we call that Medicare. So now the joke is around our house, I don't care, I have Medicare. I'll go do that. I have Medicare. I've got the best insurance now I've ever had in my life, and I haven't had the opportunity to use it yet. All right, so it's like, hey, I've got insurance now. Let's live recklessly. Let's go do something dangerous. Like, let's drive home in the fog tonight, dangerously, in the back roads of Maine. I've got Medicare. You know what? Even though I have Medicare, I'd rather not use it.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Yeah. If you made a profession and you've never cared about transforming, I wonder what actually ever happened to you, if anything at all.
Right.
You know what I mean, Jelly Bean? And so we have this. In a sense, we live in an age that definitely abuses the grace of God. And, you know, the Bible clearly tells us that we are not to sin. I don't know how many times that I've quoted this verse already in this little series, but Romans 6, 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, we looked the other night, or the other day, or whenever it was, like the preacher said, the last three nights, whatever, it all works. We looked at the standard. What is the standard? 1 John chapter 2. I write these things unto you that ye sin not. That's the standard. Are any of us going to reach that standard in this life? No. That's why right after that it says, and if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, right. The righteous. But what's the standard? That you sin not. Not that you take grace and try to get as close to the world as you can, but you take grace and the changing power of grace and try to get to as close to God as you can.
Right.
Amen. We are dead to sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. We are to be transformed. That's what transformation is. And be not conformed to this world. We looked at the world last night. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're to go from one form to another form. Before I got saved, I was conformed to the world. Now I'm to be transformed and conformed to Christ. Look at Romans chapter 8. Just go back here a couple of pages in your Bible to Romans chapter 8. What is the work of God in our life? It's transforming. That's the work of God in our life. Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And the good, God defines the terms. I'm not preaching Romans 8 here tonight, but God defines the terms. We don't get to say what the good is. Right. You know, we say, well, good. And we did, and a lot of times we interpret good according to our flesh. Good means health. Good means wealth. Good means peace. Good means broken relationships restored, etc., etc., etc. And none of that may be in your right. in your wheelhouse. Right. None of that may be what God is going to have for you. We don't get to determine good. God says it all's good what he does right. to get us to be conformed to Christ. Watch this. Look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And as a matter of fact, it's going to be probably so rough down here, it's going to appear like we're sheep for the slaughter. In just a few verses in Romans chapter 8. And as a matter of fact, the Lord is going to reassure us of his love in spite of what it looks like down here. Life, death, angels, principalities, powers, famine. And he's like, don't worry, I love you. You can be assured of that. Because what he's doing now is taking us from all that conformity to the world, and he's now going to transform us and make us conform to Christ. That wonderful Bible word, conformed to his image. Look at Philippians chapter number 3. Look at Philippians chapter number 3. Paul talked about being conformable here to something new. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That sounds like a living sacrifice to me. Conformable unto his death. That sounds like the latter verses of Romans chapter 8 to me.
Right.
All right. And then look what he says. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though as I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. All right, that's good. And reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the transformed life. All right? We are to be transformed. Now the world perverts transforming that concept, that idea in their wicked attempt, an unnatural and perverted mutation of the body. By wicked medical procedures and purely evil pharmaceutical companies. And unfortunately, we live in a day and age we preachers never would have thought we would ever have to deal with anything like this. And who would ever have to get up and talk about trans and trannies and perverts who want to dress like a woman, men who want to dress like a woman, and they want to go into the public school and sit there and read books to your children? Who'd ever thought we'd ever have to discuss that? Say, preacher, you shouldn't say that. Well, you're getting it everywhere else. As a matter of fact, maybe even where you work, they're going to make you go through some sensitivity training for sodomites and trans. But that's got nothing to do. That's a satanic, that's satanic perversion. It's got nothing to do with anything that's real. It's all right from the pit of hell. But Christianity is transforming, right? People should behold a transformation in a spiritual nature by the miracle of God. Now, we're no longer conformed to the world. We're no longer like the world. We no longer are to have the form of the world. We are to be transformed. Now, transforming is a miracle. There's no way to have this happen outside of a miracle. That miracle is the new birth. Now, I want to build something for you here. Creation, the creation was a forming, the creation of man. God formed man. Now listen to this. 1 Timothy 2:13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. Listen to what Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 says. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Creation was a forming. That's what it's called. When he made man, he formed man. Birth is a forming, according to the King James Bible. Our daughter-in-law just gave birth 9 days ago to another grandchild. And that baby was formed by God Almighty. Jeremiah 1:4 says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, verse 5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And the Bible says that in other places about birth being a forming. The new birth is a transforming. All right, look what John chapter 3. I know you know this, familiar verses. But John chapter 3, what happened to us when we got saved was a birth. It was a birth. It's a new birth. All right? There's no mistake about it. Life is born. All right? There should be no mistake about it when somebody gets saved. It should be evident that life is born. If you're sitting there and the lights never came on and nothing ever happened and you were never moved and sin never bothered you, believe me, you were not born. You were not born. John chapter 3 verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I want to tell you, like the being born of water was a forming by God, so isn't being born of the Spirit a forming by God. And it says here, now this is going on. There's a new birth. In verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, what happens with this birth? This birth leads to a new creature, right? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. It leads to a new creature. When I got saved. I never went to church when I got saved. I didn't go to church. If I had to go to church to get saved, I would not most likely be saved today. If you told me I had to go down to hear the preacher preach or go to a revival meeting or go somewhere, I would have never gone. I didn't even, when I was lost, not that I hated churches or I was against churches. I just knew it wasn't my world. It wasn't my thing. I didn't know anything about it. And I didn't even like to go to a church for a funeral or to a wedding. It was all weird to me. I didn't know, you know, I never knew, you know, what they were going to go on. And a lot of what you get's from TV anyway. And so, because I was formed to the world. I read gospel tracts. That's my testimony. I got saved by gospel tracts. And then when I got saved, I didn't even know all this happened, but I was born again. And I had a new creature. There was all of a sudden a new man. And all of a sudden, one of the first things I wanted to do when I got saved in the first week of April of 1980. That next Sunday, I wanted to go to church. I didn't even know what kind of a church or where. I just said, there was life.
Yes.
There was a new creature. This creature had a new desire. And all of a sudden, I wanted to go where the other people are that had happened to them what had happened to me. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it was evidence of my new birth. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so the transformation began. And this life that I live in now, that you live in now, if you're saved, is now conforming us to the image of Christ. When I was lost, Satan was my God. I didn't call him my God. I listened to his music, I guess, and all that stuff. But I didn't worship. I wasn't, quote unquote, a devil worshiper, but I was a child of the devil. Right? And I was conformed to the world. And I talked a lot about that last night. Now that I'm saved, what the Bible is telling me is happening is that in my physical birth was a forming. Now in my spiritual birth, there's to be a forming. Look at this in Galatians chapter number 4. Look at Galatians chapter number 4. Now here's the church in Galatia. They had started well. They had run well. They were off to a good start. They were in sound doctrine. And then, if you know the story of the book of Galatians, they get sidetracked. They got some bad teachers in there. They were starting to mix law and grace. And, you know, Paul's talking to them, you know, you started in the spirit. How do you think you're going to finish in the flesh, finish in the law? And it's all about the flesh and the spirit. And then he even says, I would that they were cut off, which trouble you. I mean, they had stopped in their growth and development. And look what he says to them in Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be, see that word? Formed in you.
Right.
Do you know that's what the Lord's trying to do in each and every one of us since we got saved? He's trying to form Christ in us. Romans 8:28 and 29. Conformed to the image of his dear son. Amen. That's the Christian life. All right, that's it right there. And then in chapter 5, verse number 12, he begins to talk about the flesh and the spirit. And he said in verse 12, I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you know, while you fulfill the lust of the flesh, Christ isn't being formed in you. I'm not talking about salvation, do you understand? I'm talking about the new life. I'm talking about standing out in this world. I'm talking about being different than the world. That's what the Bible says. And then it says in verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. One is for the old forming. One is for the new forming. Flesh and the spirit. To transform is to change the form of. It's to change one substance into another, the dictionary says. It's to change the natural. Old Webster says this. To change the natural disposition and temper of a man from a state of enmity to God into a disposition conformed to the will of God. That's pretty good. You know, only the gospel can take a selfish, wicked, mean, lost sinner and change him into a selfless, holy, spirit-filled, heaven-bound saint.
Right.
That's transformation.
Yes.
All right? That's transformation. So when you get saved, you get a life-altering salvation.
Right.
All right? I say it all the time. You know, Brother Cobb and I talk about this a lot too. I say it all the time. I'm still looking in the Bible for the unchanged life. I haven't found it yet.
No.
You know all that. Hello, I got 30 seconds. You got 30 seconds. Do you like to go to heaven, have a free hot dog?
Right.
Say this.
Yeah.
Boom.
Amen.
Never see you again. You have no desires for Christ. Doesn't matter. We'll leave that up to the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find that in the Bible. I don't find it anywhere. I still have not found the unchanged life in the Bible. You got one. I'm ready for it. Somebody that came to God and acted like they never did. It's not there.
Right?
It's a life-altering salvation. All right? We're not saying sinless. We're not saying, you know, all that stuff. You know, people, they want to argue with you right away about what you mean by that.
Right.
What I mean is, something happened to you and you know your life's going in a different direction and you should have some love for Jesus Christ in your soul.
Yes. Amen.
You should be after him. You should be like Paul, pressing toward the mark. Yep. You know, can things happen? Stuff happened to the Galatians. Sure, things can happen. But when they've never happened,
Right. Beware. Right.
When you get saved, you don't get a stay the same power in your heart. Oh, I got saved. Praise the Lord, I'm the same. I stayed the same.
Yeah.
I kept my beer and cigarettes and filthy mouth. I stayed the same. I never read my Bible, never went to church. I stayed the same. Now you know why I don't sing. All right. We don't get a stay the same power. Nobody gets up in churches about, sings about stay the same power.
Right.
When you get saved, you received a grace that teaches you to holiness and godliness. We looked at that the other night. When you get saved, you got something with the intent to change you. So the question is, are you living the transformed life? Does the world look at you as different, like not formed like them anymore, from one state to another, to biblical Christianity. Now look at this in Romans chapter 12. It's no mystery how this happens. You say, that sounds so complicated. It's not. It's not. You know what I love about God is He just makes it is just so simple for the dumbest of us.
Yeah.
And it's because we need it. Oh, you say, oh, preacher, oh my, it's so much. Not conformed to the world. Transformed. Oh my, I must have to be a mystic and go up in a monastery somewhere and get away from human beings. No, we looked at that last night. You can't get away from human beings. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You can't leave the world. You can't get away from all the filth and evil and dirt of the world. You can be kept from it. And that's what Jesus prayed for us in John 17. So he says, be not conformed to this world in verse 2, but be transformed. I wish I knew how. I'm glad we all asked the question because the Holy Ghost just is going to give us the answer.
Right.
By the renewing of your mind. That's it. It's no mystery how this comes about. The transformation process happens by a very definite thing. It's not vague. It's not abstract. It's by the renewing of your mind. You've got to change your mind. All right? I can't tell you. I gave a little bit of my testimony the other night, but I can't tell you how radically my mind changed about things I was once conformed to in the world when I got saved. I talked to you about evolution and about abortion and about, you know, a lot of things about politics and about life and about evolution. I mean, about environmentalism and all that stuff. I was just conformed to the world. I can't tell you how radically everything changed. You say, what happened? My mind changed. I was renewed in my mind. And I heard preaching. I read the Bible. And I submitted, being what we're supposed to do, a living sacrifice. And then my mind then began that transformation process. Way back in the day, back in the late 70s, I went to the University of Maine. And it was a big deal. They had a computer in there that filled this church. And it was a big deal. They had a computer in there. And we had to take a computer programming class with some language called Fortran. Well, way back then, and that's about the most I know about computers today. And we used to have to write a thing and take our cards and go in and put our stack of cards in there, and then it would print overnight, and then we'd go back to the lab and we get a big stack of paper all printed out in this computer paper, and we take it to the class. It's got to be really old. But I do remember this in the class. The big thing about computers they taught us back then was GIGO. Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. That'll work in your mind too.
Absolutely.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
What are you going to put in it? You need to be renewed in your mind, right? There's a bunch of things about the mind that just go against us. You ready? The Bible's not very, very positive about our mind without Christ. I'm just going to give you a few things. It says it's blind. That's not good. So you say all the enlightenment of the world is darkness. Oh, I mean, there's some things that the spirit of man knows that can teach the spirit of man. I'm not saying how to fix a car's darkness or anything like that. But in general, the wisdom of the world, the mind, is blind to God and to spiritual things and to truth beyond anything that you can see here. It's blind. It also says of our mind that it's fleshy and that it's actually obedient to the prince of darkness in Ephesians chapter 2. Another thing it says about our mind is that it's vain and it's dark and it's ignorant in Ephesians chapter 4. I don't know where it was, somewhere back along. I used to see commercials back when I was a kid. I don't know when it was. See commercials. A mind is a horrible thing to waste. Most of us be all right if we just got rid of our minds. And we just got out of our minds. And we got the mind of Christ.
Right.
Amen. Another thing about the mind, it says that it's corrupt and it's destitute of truth. The Bible really gives no real good description of a lost man's mind. When a person gets saved, then the mind all of a sudden is enabled to do what it could never do before. And that's to receive light and truth and wisdom from God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. So the mind could never do this before. So somebody would say, I couldn't understand the Bible, and then I got saved. I started reading the Bible, and all of a sudden, stuff just jumping off the page at me. It just came alive. You say, why? Because your mind got changed by salvation. There was a new power, new ability in your mind by the Holy Spirit of God. And so... But you've got this life that you've lived. You've got this thinking that you've had. You've got this old Adam you're still dragging around. Now it's got to be transformed and conformed to the image of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2, look at verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. You know, a lost man can't understand these things.
Right.
They're just not there. But you and I, they're revealed unto us. How? By his Spirit. What happened when I got saved? I was born again. How? By God's Spirit.
Right.
The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Right? So God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now listen, you're going to have to agree with God if you want to get anywhere in the Christian life.
Right.
You're going to have to agree with him. The Bible says, a man in and of himself, no man knows anything about God. That's our condition. The only one that knows anything about God is the Spirit of God. When you got saved, you got the Spirit of God as a gift, sealed into the day of redemption. Now you can understand some things about God by his Spirit. Now, if you don't walk in his Spirit, if you don't abide in his Spirit, if you don't fellowship with him, if you quench, grieve, and vex him, your learning is going to be greatly diminished.
Right.
Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world. I didn't receive that when I got saved. I already had that. Right? But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Some Christians are just way too sensitive about what the world thinks about you.
Right. Yes, sir.
Why? What are you worried about?
Right.
I'm not judged of any man.
Right.
I don't care what the world thinks about my faith or my Bible or God or Jesus Christ or the only way to be saved or anything else. I don't care what they think about it. But he that is spiritual judgeth, I'll judge them, thank you very much. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord,
right, that
he may instruct him? Now look at these last few words here. But we have the mind of Christ. Is that not mind-blowing?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But we have the mind of Christ. So the saved have the mind of Christ. How do we have it? By the Holy Spirit.
Right.
According to this text right here. When I was born again, a new forming began. Now I'm transformed from the old man to the new. So the Holy Spirit now opens the mind and enables the mind to think in God's wisdom. And when that begins, then the transforming occurs. And then, and only then, you'll see tomorrow night, can the will of God be proved in your life.
Amen.
If you don't do all this other stuff we've been preaching on, as hard as you try, you'll never find the will of God. You'll never find it.
Right.
Now, when you start thinking like the Bible. Oh, by the way, the Holy Spirit wrote a book.
Yeah.
I wonder, where is this mind of Christ? I wonder if anywhere in it says it's here. It says that we have it. It says it's by His Spirit. I wonder if the Spirit's ever communicated to us. Maybe I just have to go and quiet myself and do yoga.
Yeah.
Maybe I have to do Pilates. I don't know if Pilates is good or bad. I'm just throwing stuff out there. I'm just preaching now. I'm making stuff up. Maybe if I just go, it'd be great. I'd be in favor of this if I just got away from every human being and went fishing for the rest of my life. That would be all right. Could that be the way I could find the mind? Empty myself. You know how the world is? Empty yourself and get full of legion is what you'll do in the world. So I'm going to have this mind by a new birth. The Spirit which was given to me, the Bible says that holy men of God spake by the Spirit, and the Spirit authored a book. All right? If I were the devil, I'd hate this book. I wouldn't want you to have the mind of Christ. I'd want you to have a perverted mind, like a New International Version, or you pick whatever one you want. It's a perverted mind. All right. Always got to get a KJV plug in there somehow, right? So, what do we do? Well, we're to obey it. We're to let it be in us. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then in later in Philippians chapter 4, it says, by prayer, God's peace will keep this mind, and then this mind will be enabled to think upon things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, and praise. It starts to get transformed. In Acts 17:11, the renewed mind we find is ready in the Scriptures. They had a readiness of mind to search the Scriptures. I worry about people that get saved, supposedly, and have no thirst to know anything in the Bible. Because the Spirit of God that you get when you get saved wrote a book. Believe me, He will urge you to want to know what's in it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 22. Ephesians 4, 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation. The old man, that's the world, okay? That you put off the former conversation, the old man would have been conformed to the world, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The renewed mind is the key to the transformed life.
Right.
We're renewed by the Holy Ghost. I've already referenced Titus 3:5, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Look at this, 1 Peter chapter 1. And we really are almost done. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. I read 1 Peter 1 the other day, and I was preaching about holiness, and we looked at the command in 1 Peter 1 and 14 and 15 and 16. But you know this whole thing about the holy life? You know where it all begins? It begins in the loins of your mind. Yes. You know your mind has loins according to the Bible. Mm-hmm. And these loins need to be girt up. Look at verse 13, 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. We don't want to go back and be conformed to the world. We don't want to go back to that former fashion. We want a new fashion. We want transforming. Say, what's going to happen? I need to gird up the loins of my mind. And then look at verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So the mind's loins need girding, and that will lead to transforming, and that will lead to holiness. And then you will not be conformed to the world.
Right.
Then and only then, can the will of God be proven. Go right over here to 2 Peter, since you're right here in this end of the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3. The mind needs to be stirred up, and the mind needs to be full of the writers of Scripture. What are we going to do with this mind? What are we going to do? How do we keep this mind right? Look at 2 Peter 3:1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful. You know why you need to read the Bible all the time? Because your mind and my mind have a great Teflon quality to it. A lot of stuff comes in and slides right out. Do you know why the Bible tells us to remember? The Bible tells us to, you know, listen, we say it sometimes as a joke. We preachers could get up and preach a message we just preached 2 weeks ago, right? And everybody go, oh yeah. I mean, they wouldn't, 2 weeks later might not think, but they might not remember it all. And a matter of fact, sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes you can ask me, what'd you preach 2 weeks ago? And I'm like,
yeah.
Did I preach? You know, sometimes I go through old notes from 25 years ago, old sermons, and I go, I knew that? I'm not making that up. I want to tell you, I've forgotten so much more than I've ever kept over these years. You say, so what do I need to do? Artie Dean, what do you need to do? I need to keep my mind in this book every day.
Yes.
Watch. Verse 2. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. That's what I need to do. I need my mind full of the words. What is it? Remembrance. By way of remembrance. I've forgotten more memorized verses than I have memorized right now. Over all these years. And my mind's getting more and more slippery the older I get. I got to stay. I got to get the loins of my mind girt up. So the transforming keeps going. Until the rapture or the Lord takes me home via the grave. The world, through education, politics, TV programs... A good thing, program, good thing for the TV, that's what it is. Advertising, corporate tyranny, music, think tanks, they're constantly trying to conform your thinking to the world. And we can't get away from it. It's everywhere we turn around. Right? But Moses and Abraham and David and Joshua and Solomon and Samuel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Malachi and Nehemiah and Ezra and Elijah and Elisha and Job and Hosea and Joel and Amos and Obadiah and Jonah and Micah and Naaman and Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, James, Jude, and Peter. They'll keep you right. I need more of them than I need TV programs. Programming. I don't care. You know, even the Weather Channel can't be depended upon anymore. The stupid Weather Channel's been co-opted by climate change activists. They can't get, if you ever noticed this year, they can't even get it right 24 hours out because they're using wrong models. The world has gone mentally insane.
Yes. Yes.
And you know, there's probably too many Christians out there going, but the globe is changing, but the world, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Get your mind out of that stuff. Get your mind in the book of Revelation and see real environmental damage. So, who are you spending your time with? And who are you letting shape your thoughts? It's no big mystery where God's mind can be found. Now that you're saved, you have the unction that teacheth you all things. We looked at that the other day, 1 John 2:20. You have the unction that teacheth you all things. And this unction in chapter 2, verse 27, this unction teaches you everything about the Lord, right? You have an unction, 2:20, the unction teaches, 2:27. And then the unction, we have to abide in the Holy Spirit. And then it says right after that, you know why? If we'll abide in the Holy Spirit, we won't be ashamed before Jesus Christ that is coming. You say, what? We've been transformed. So the Bible and the Spirit of God are the great renewers of the mind. You know, I feel like I preach all the time, preaching all the time back home, preaching my church all the time. And I say it all the time back home. You know, it seems like all the time we just make this big circle and we just get back to the Bible and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Bible and the Holy Spirit. The Bible and the Holy Spirit. The Bible and the Holy Spirit. Without the Scriptures and fellowship and filling of God's Spirit, it is impossible to ever hope to prove the will of God in your life. So be not conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God's mind is found in your King James Bible. So let it in. The proof of thinking right will be obedience. The result of obedience will be a great transformation. And that will separate you from the world and help you to prove the will of God in your life. All right? Transformed life. Amen. I'm going to turn it over to the pastor now. Do whatever he wants to do with the service. Brother Barnes, all yours.